It's Great Mondays Radio. I'm Josh Levine, your host, founder of Great Mondays. We help executives from hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations build cultures that attract, engage, and retain top talent. If you'd like to be a guest on our program, hang out for about 20 minutes and I'll tell you how. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Great Mondays Radio. Josh Levine here, your host. Just a quick note that if you prefer to consume your podcast content visually, if you're a visual person, head over to YouTube. You can find us at Great Mondays. Definitely check us out. We post all of our episodes there. Definitely worth checking out because we have such glorious and gloriously looking guests like our guest today, Amanda Brinkman, who is an expert in purpose-based leadership, is how we'll say it. She has had a long career as an executive, which we'll ask her all about, and is essentially taking what she has learned and bringing it to the people. She's launched a course just recently called The Purpose Pursuit. And so we're going to talk to her about how to cope with, I guess, your own identity and find your own individual purpose and what that might mean. So Amanda Brinkman, welcome to Great Mondays Radio. I'm so glad you could make some time for us.
Thank you for having me. And I have to say that you have one of the best named podcasts. Like, I mean, I know it relates back to your much more than just a podcast, but I love the concept of Great Mondays. So
yeah, well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Means a lot coming from you. You also have had a long career in our expertise in brand as well. So that's no small compliment coming from a fellow brander. So Amanda, what brought you to this idea or this? Not just understanding or comprehension of the importance of identity, but wanting to bring it to other people, your individual purpose. What brought you here?
Well, I had spent my whole career really thinking about brand purpose. So coming from the brand background and marketing, you know, I had always been so laser focused on what is a brand's purpose. And for a long time, I really felt compelled to make sure that it wasn't just stopping at brand purpose, that it was really turned into brand action. You know, how can you demonstrate the heart that your company has and what it's doing? For a long time, I was out speaking on how companies could do well by doing good, which I still do quite a bit. But I started to really think more about personal purpose, actually, when I left corporate, because I did not realize how much of my identity was kind of tied up in my job or in my title. And so I started to really dig into what it meant to have personal purpose. For those who perhaps have either been really careful about their exit or if an exit has happened to them, no matter how it comes to be, I think it can sometimes surprise you how much of your identity you have tied up in that job. And you kind of start to feel like you left your mojo at that company or in that role. And I was certainly experiencing that. I was coming off of a really compelling purpose-based project and program and something that I found very rewarding. And then as I leapt into speaking full time and becoming an entrepreneur, I was really surprised with that identity recalibration.
I think this is something that I'm going to get. I certainly have struggled with, and I'm going to guess a lot of our listeners have struggled with. And I'd be willing to bet that this is going to grow as a need. We're going to see more and more people with this in mind, both because of two factors. And tell me, you've been thinking about this more than I have. One, we are learning that we should not have our purpose wrapped up with the work that we do or the business that we have, right? We're over-investing in that. I think we're learning that lesson collectively. And two, we do more. We're working, we're earning money, but also creating value in a lot more very diverse ways, right? We all have got a side hustle or what have you. Is that what's kind of driving, when you talk to folks and when you teach your class and when you give your keynotes, are those two elements, am I guessing correctly? And what else, I guess, what else do you hear out there as far as why people need this now?
Yeah, well, you've nailed two of them for sure. I think the other thing that I think is at play is that when we experienced and survived the pandemic, I think a lot of us promised ourselves that we were going to change some things, right? Like our calendars were automatically cleared. We started to see our work in a different way because we were in a different environment. And I think everyone kind of said, like, you know what? I'm going to change some things. I'm going to either have more intention about how I'm spending my time or where and who gets my hours and my expertise. And so we promised ourselves we were going to really live differently on the other side of this thing. And we were going to take these lessons and this change of pace, and we were going to be serious about it. And then we kind of didn't. Like life just kind of like started to reemerge slowly. There was no big pronunciation that we were through it. And what reemerged was like some weird cloned version of normal of what we had before. So it wasn't even as good. And like our calendars just refilled. And again, we promised ourselves we were going to be judicious about what we said yes to. And it just kind of, we just kind of ended up back where we found ourselves before. Huh. And I think there's a bit of whiplash from that. I think people are like, shit, I thought I was going to like change stuff. And here I am in the same spot, but like,
yeah.
So I think that's another factor. I think an additional factor is that I think a lot of us who are questioning are kind of in this midlife chrysalis where we really want to work with intention. We've got a couple more decades in the work tank, and we still want to work and drive hard, but the way in which we want to do that work and what compels us and what interests us and drives us quite literally has changed. And I think we think something's wrong with us because it's changed. And so I think to me, it's the two that you mentioned and then these two additional. I think a lot of us that are questioning are just, it's a good time. It is a good thing to be rethinking how you're going to be spending your time. And that's why I love talking about purpose, because I think it, no matter where you go or what you do, if you think about purpose in the right way, you carry that with you.
Right. So it is a asset that you don't leave. If you can define it, if you can identify it, you don't leave it at work, is what I hear you saying.
Yes, precisely.
Okay. So let me reflect on what you said. You're right. It's some sort of, clone, not as good as what it was, but I would argue probably two steps forward, one step back. I think we saw what was possible.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, and now that dissonance is what's causing the, a little bit of irritation that I think is making the situation ripe for this kind of discussion. I think that's where we are. So is that a fair way to kind of characterize
it? Yeah, I think it's well said. I mean, a mind expanded can never go back to the same size or place, right? We hear. And I think that's right. You're right. We could use it as a gift. It has shown us what is possible and that we can make some changes and it's going to be okay. So now I think it's on us to like decide. I think, yes, it's this dissonance because maybe we didn't make changes, but we could still, it's not too late. Like it doesn't mean that we can't. Or, and I'm not advocating for everyone quitting their job or joining a nonprofit or building a yurt in Patagonia.
When do what I say, but not what I do, Amanda.
It was the right path for me, but I'm not advocating for that. I definitely, it's just more about little, sometimes minor adjustments in both what you're spending time on, but also like how you see things as perspective too. So, yeah.
Okay. So this really resonates with me because a longtime friend, a woman who's a little older than I am, incredibly talented, successful career. She sort of runs her own business or owns her own business. And she wrote me and she said, I'm struggling with my own purpose. I don't know. And it really surprised me because she's so possessed, like self-possessed. She's got poise and she like, I feel like she really's got it. And there's something that's happening. And I don't know if it's a midlife crisis or chrysalis or whatever, but what would be the first thing that you would come to her, reply to her, talk with her. How this is someone, right? This isn't just for folks that are lost or something. I mean, I guess what I mean to say is, I see this woman as incredibly successful, and yet she feels she needs this work. So when you're leading in, you're like, where do you start? How do you begin to advise folks?
Yeah, I start with what I think we've gotten wrong about purpose. So in my research and my own personal journey, I didn't call it research when I was doing it, by the way. I was like struggling and trying to figure it out myself. And so I read all the books. I listened to all the podcasts. I went on the yoga retreats to the desert. I went on a listening tour. I would become a voracious collector of ideas around how people were finding and seeing purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And in my talk and in the course, I've got a lot of things that I found to be commonalities or things that resonated with me. But the big crux of what I talk about is that I think we've actually gotten the concept of purpose a bit wrong. I think we have given it a giant capital P. We talk about it in the future. We use finding like a verb, which means that there's some sort of action in which you have to take to find it, which implies that you don't yet have it. And I think purpose is much more of, it has a lowercase p, and it is much more about thin slicing your life and thinking about your life moment to moment, conversation to conversation, day to day, week to week, because all that in accumulation is actually your life. And I think if we think about purpose as this thing you don't yet have, that you have to somehow find a magical path to discover, the risk is that we could be sleepwalking like through our actual lives. So that's where I would start with her. I would say, I don't think it's out there. I think you are your purpose. And I think thinking about it as this thing that you do on a daily basis and changing our verbiage from finding purpose to living in your purpose is the first step. It's just that perspective shift and that change in how you see it.
Very Buddhist approach, I think, right? It's not out there, it's within ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So is it more about identifying and finding and discovering? Is that the kind of language you'd start to use to reframe, right? Reframing our language is reframing how we think. So that's kind of what I'm
It is. It's about seeing the fact that we have this incredible impact all the time in everything that we do. So I talk about things like the ripple effect. Like, I think sometimes when we listen to the news, when we see external factors, we start to feel kind of out of control and we can't do anything about it. And the thing that you can do something about is affect the people around you, affect the team that you lead, affect your colleagues, affect the person who's checking you out at the grocery store. Like, you will affect the next person no matter what. Like, it isn't debatable, but to see it as a choice that you can either leave them in a better place or you can take from them.
Yeah.
Like, to see that you could have this ripple effect, for me, reframes it around believing that it is this lowercase p, that it is this like going, like how I move through the world. Because I think I love the whole like finding your why, right? Like, that's part of our lexicon now as leaders. And I think that's great. Wonderful. What I'm arguing that is that our how, like how we do our work, what we bring to it, is just as important. So it's about knowing your why, but it's also about knowing your how. Like, how you move through the world, like, really, really matters and is in and of itself your purpose.
Yeah, I've always defined purpose as a why, as a driving force, but the how is interesting. So your way of being, is that what you're advising folks when you talk about this? And in the course, are you focusing in on helping people investigate how they are in the world?
Yes. So we talk a lot about ripple effect and how you can see and realize the ripple effect, like within your current purview, within your current situation. Like so many people feel like they have to leave their job and go somewhere else. And actually in my research, one of the teams that I did a lot of like listening with was I talked a lot to nonprofit leaders, and they talked about this concept of the 2-year cliff. So after people, so during the pandemic, a lot of people left corporate and joined nonprofits, and we could probably guess why, right? Like they felt like that would check the box, that would give them their why. Like they were working for a nonprofit that had mission, and that would bring them this fulfillment. And about 2 years later, they found themselves like stuck in the same things. It's not about the grass is greener over there because that company has mission. It's about what are you bringing to this role and to this team and to this work. And so just going to work somewhere or having a job that has this end benefit isn't going to bring you, at the end of the day, it won't bring you your purpose as much as believing that how you move through the world and what you're able to bring to the table does. So we talk a lot about ripple effect and realizing what the ripple effect you have right now or the potential. Talk a lot about your superpowers, right? There's a lot of talk out there about superpowers, but about really truly recognizing like what am I uniquely gifted at, and like and digging a little bit deeper than the usual stuff, like really truly understanding what drives you and what energizes you and what's special about you, because that really really matters, and that relates all the way back to your purpose and how you can have that ripple effect. We talk about really understanding that we have an opportunity to give purpose to our pain. We talk about a variety of ways in which to see this purpose in action, because I think changing your mind about it and seeing that you can live in your purpose is the first step, but then it's about truly feeling like you have the tools to live in your purpose. It's about like discovering it, celebrating it, and using it.
So, how does one discover their special sauce, right? What's special about you? So you're making the case it's already within us. Okay, I think we probably have a lot of emotionally intelligent listeners, folks that believe in themselves, and probably they could list a lot of things that are special. Which one is my how, my purpose? How do we start to get there?
Well, first of all, I commend your listeners for knowing this and for knowing that about themselves. The more time I spend out in organizations, that is not true of everyone. I think for those of us who spend time thinking about these things and talking about these things, we start to believe that everybody sees the world that way, and it's not true of our entire organization. So that I will say. And I think that can also be true of superpowers, is the things that you think everybody else has or thinks of. You ask great questions, for example. Not everybody does. Some people can hear a really complicated project and not be intimidated. They can instantly see the vision of where it could go, and they can also see the 12 steps that are going to be needed to get there, and the kind of team and get people energized. That doesn't come out naturally to everyone. Some people can walk into a room and feel comfortable and just start talking. That terrifies most people. So a lot of times these superpowers, so the first thing I like to say is like it's often going to be something you don't think of because you just don't realize that other people don't think that way or see the world that way or operate that way. The second thing I talk about is I really think you are supposed to feel good at what you do. Like we sometimes like confuse work and specifically service. We kind of talk about it as this thing you have to do in order to do the other things you want to do. We even like imply that in the term work-life balance, like one you have to do so you get to do the other. We're meant to feel good at what we do. If we are sitting in those superpowers and those gifts, we will feel energized by our day. We will feel good at it. You're meant to feel good at it. So then I tell people to listen to their days. On the days in which you are flying high, I mean, we know these days, right? You come home and your partner in life or your friends at happy hour, they're like, whoa, what kind of day? We can feel it. Like you had a great day. You can feel it, right? Stop and think, like, what did I do today? Like, not what project did I work on, or like specifically, what did I do in that meeting? Did I ask someone to speak up that doesn't normally get a chance to speak up? Did I connect to people? Did I truly do great listening? Did I whatever had happened, like really start to be granular, not like what did I work on, but what skills was I using today? And then start also paying attention to the days that drain you, the days that you come home and you're just like, that took it out of me. There's information in that too. I could keep going. There's a lot of ways to just uncover your skills, but that I go through in the course, but I don't want to bore you. But yeah,
No,
anyway.
it's all very interesting. Okay, so the metaphor that I'm thinking, which is, I think, appropriately jarring in a or dis sort of, I don't know, incongruent, is it's not about what you're eating, but how you're eating it. It's not about the, because everybody's excited about the meal, but I think the shift is, and again, I think very sort of in a very Buddhist Zen way, right? It's how you're going about your work. I do think it's important. I've talked a lot about finding a business that has the kind of ethos and work that they want to do. But the truth is, and I think what you're illuminating is every day is not gonna, there's just no way that you're gonna be working on, you know, this, you just don't love, you know, you're just not gonna inherently love filling in a spreadsheet. But how we go about doing it and finding the capacity, the skills, or identifying, not finding, identifying the skills that really give us that energy is what is going to enable us to really be and embrace sort of who we are at our core.
You got it. That's it.
Interesting. This is very, very different from the way I've ever thought about it. And I, you know, for me, I get very excited about what food is going to be on the table and then shovel into my mouth, right? So I think there's something very challenging about what you're offering here. Now, I want to sort of repeat back what I'm hearing kind of in between the points that you're making. Everything that you're talking about is in relation to, I think, and again, obviously correct me if I'm wrong, in relation to other people. So I think what I hear you saying is that it is about, you talked about the ripple effect, you talk about treating people and giving and get, you know, and all these pieces. Is it, am I haven't taken the course, so I don't know. Am I correct in thinking that one of the main threads here is about how you impact other people? It is your purpose is inherently in the interactions.
Yes, yeah, because I think that's the whole, we've forever asked this question as a human race, like why am I here? What
Why
is
am I
this?
here?
Why am I
Yes,
here? And I
yes.
think it's because we are meant to be in service to each other. And the way in which you can be in service to each other is different based on those superpowers and that ripple effect that you uniquely can have because of your unique journey. I talk a lot about in the course about gratitude and about recognizing these pieces of your journey and how to tick and tie that because where you are right now in your life. Like, literally, the seat you're sitting in listening to this conversation has all led you up to what you're meant to do next, the effect you're meant to have on the people around you next. And if we see it that way, we suddenly feel like we're living in our purpose. Like, we don't, yes. So, I do think it has everything to do with seeing the fact that you are meant to be in service to each other and that that is not meant to feel sacrificial or hard. You're meant to feel joy from that service and from helping other people. We can all point to micro examples of that. Like, when you mentor someone and you see them blossom, like that, your heart explodes. You're like, I like you, you feel great pride in having had a role in that. I think as parents, we feel that certain moments of parenting. I feel like there, when you volunteer, right? We always say, almost every time you say afterwards, like, I got more out of that than I gave. And why do we say that? Because it feels good to be in service. So, anyway.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So once we've identified those moments, those interactions, those abilities that light us up, is it our job to find more of those things or opportunities to do those things, because work is work. I mean, there's going to be always going to be days where you're just like, I have to do this.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit about figuring out, are there ways in which to adjust your current role to do more of those things? I started to say to myself, for me, if I could be on a stage or on a set, my other background is kind of film production, the company, another company I'm overjoyed when I'm in those environments, when I'm doing those things, when I'm able to affirm and encourage people at scale. And so how do I create more days where I'm doing that? And so I went as far as to design a whole career to make sure I'm doing more of those days. But you can make micro adjustments right now in your current role. Everything around, I mean, because when we talk about delegating too, as like leaders, we've known that principle for a long time that we should hand the project to someone who can do it better and faster. And let's add another comma that says, and they'll enjoy it. Like if these things are draining you, I guarantee there's someone in your orbit or within your team structure that actually brings them joy. They like my sister, Excel formulas are like her love language. She loves it. So she should be doing more of that. And there's probably plenty of people on her team who want her to be doing more of that. So how do you kind of readjust things? So I think you can do it within your current role. And then once you kind of have seen it, then maybe longer term you can make decisions about what kind of job you take or what kind of role you sign up for, because you can see that it will have these tasks, but you don't need it. I mean, another exercise I have people do is like go to like a coffee shop and watch two baristas doing the same job. Like, I don't know that they from 3 years old said my purpose in life will be to brew coffee. But if you watch these two people doing their job, one is like adding joy to everyone who comes up to the front desk, and they're writing the name and they're making the jokes, and like they are both leaving you lighter, but they are also themselves feeling good about what they're doing and how they're doing it. And then you can see someone right next to them doing the same job, paid the same amount of money, the same result or output, but they're kind of grumpy about it. They're a little annoyed that you don't know how the half calf shot works, and like it's two different hows and two different experiences for the people who are going to encounter them. And taking that seriously is like where the crux of it is.
One more turn here on this conversation, and I want to advance this concept. And you just talked about, okay, how do you give and provide the kind of work that you don't want to do to people who can? And immediately I'm thinking, how do you know that? And I'm thinking about folks who are listening, who are leaders, who are managers. Have you given much thought to how to help those folks identify the special skills and ways to service of in other people? Because there's a big difference between, okay, what is my thing and what is somebody else's thing?
Yes. The course is designed to, there's a whole facilitator guide that goes with it, but there's a whole one of the eight modules is just about superpowers. And while it is termed a bit in terms of my superpowers as the viewer of the video, it is meant that you and everyone on your team would be watching it in parallel, and then you'd come together and have a discussion about those superpowers. There's exercises within it to do to help each other identify it, to be a part of putting it up on the wall and looking at it and saying, you can have these great aha moments. And as leaders, that is also a huge ripple effect that you have the opportunity to do. If you can, you don't have to, I mean, maybe you have to at some point adjust actual job recs. But in the interim, you could just help shuffle things for people. You do have that power. And if it's going to make two people on your team both feel more fulfilled by just trading this little thing that just because when you started the role and you were listing out the job responsibilities, you put it under this role and this role, does it have to stay there? I mean, just questioning those kinds of things can have incredible purpose for the people who are on your team. So yeah, within the guide that accompanies this course, there's a lot of prompts for teams to have these kinds of discussions around, what can we be moving around and how do we help each other celebrate our superpowers and use them better.
Wow. Well, this has been a complete flip of how I think about purpose, which I really, really appreciate you sticking your finger into my brain and like flipping it around, because I've thought about it in one way a very long time. And, you know, I was skeptical, but I think there's something really, really compelling about how you are reframing this. And I think this is probably a really good, perfect time to leave it, leave the conversation, end the conversation there. So Amanda Brinkman, who is an expert in purpose-based leadership, you've just launched a course called The Purpose Pursuit. You can learn more about Amanda and her course at amandakbrinkman.com. Amanda, this was amazing. Thank you so much for sharing this with Great Mondays Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio. Hey, if you want to be a guest, head over to radio.greatmondays.com. And if you think this episode was interesting and your friends and fans would enjoy it, please share on social media. And if you want to get more people to understand the power of company culture in business today, please rate and review Great Mondays Radio on your podcast feed. It really helps us reach more people. If you want to hear more candid conversations with culture leaders, subscribe to Great Mondays Radio. I'd love to connect with you. Find me on LinkedIn at AKA Josh Levine, on YouTube at Great Mondays. And you can always email me, josh@greatmondays.com. Find out more about our work with hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations at greatmondays.com. I'm Josh Levine. Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio.